Your daily Philadelphia 76ers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome, welcome, welcome. Welcome back to Locked On 76ers. I'm your host, Keith Pompey. Happy Tuesday to you. It's Tuesday, July the 2nd. I got not Mark Narducci, only playing. I have my people. I have Mike Silski and Marcus Hayes. Two of the best columnists in the city, if not the country here. But Mike normally gets upset when I give him compliments.
Very nice of you.
Oh, very nice. But anyway.
You're a good
you
man.
Compliment the hell out of me.
my man. But hey, y'all. So we talked about yesterday. We talked about Tobias Harris staying, Jimmy Butler going, Al Horford coming. So today, what we're going to do is we're just going to have one. We're not going to break it down in three different segments. We're just going to talk about the needs or what's next for the Sixers. Personally, I think they need a closer. Marcus, before we came on here, Marcus raised a great point. And then yesterday, and I talked about this beforehand, but yesterday, Mike Silski, mentioned that hey, if Ben Simmons doesn't make shots, it doesn't matter what happens. So, right now we're going to open this discussion up and we're going to talk about things. Now, you guys, before we got on there, I honestly said I like the moves that the 76ers made. There were two things that really stuck out to me. To me personally, I know J.J. Redick's 35 years old, and I know you guys, you talk about his thing was they were playing 4-4. But losing JJ to me was a huge factor, was a loss. It was a huge loss. Like, if you can get a guy like a Danny Green or something like that, that will help out. But losing JJ to me was a huge loss. Secondly, Jimmy Butler, they lost their closer. I mean, they lost the guy who you can say, you know what? Let's spread the floor, give him the ball. We don't have to run anything. We can run a pick and roll. Or an ISO, and we know Jimmy's going to come through in the fourth quarter. I'm looking at this roster right now, and I just don't see that. Maybe, Tobias could go in, and I know that Marcus is going to try to sell me on it or really talk me into it. And it's not a knock against Tobias. I mean, I know, like we talked about it, Tobias is getting better. He's a good guy, this and that. But to me, I just don't see that closer on his team, and I believe that's something they have to get. It's too late now. They can't afford it, but that's something they're missing.
But if you're spending $180 million over 5 years on a guy whose game is primarily offensive and he's not a closer, then you've made a huge mistake. I mean, you can't spend that kind of money on a guy and say, okay, for the last 4 minutes of the game, you can disappear. He has to be the closer. They have to believe that he's the closer. And they might be wrong and I might be wrong, but it's a big mistake to make. Again, I think that he was utilized less than he would have been had Brett Brown not had Jimmy Butler on the floor. And Jimmy Butler was great at the end, but Jimmy Butler wasn't great all the way through the playoffs. Jimmy Butler shot 26% from three during the playoffs. 26%. And that ain't closer percentage. That's choker percentage. And look, if you're making that kind of cash, you got to be able to get the ball in your hands and produce in the last 4 minutes offensively, especially when you're a below average defender who might one day be an average defender. Mm-hmm. I mean, again, they and I might be wrong, but clearly they think that he's the guy that can win games for them.
Yeah.
I mean, and the flip side of that too is, you're talking about the last 4 minutes and. Obviously, during the regular season, at a minimum, Jimmy was the guy that they would go to in those final 4 minutes. Well, who was the guy who didn't have the ball in his hands? It was Ben Simmons.
Yeah.
Not only because he couldn't shoot from the floor, but one could argue he didn't want to be at the foul line, in the final 4 minutes of the game either. I think Marcus is right in that Harris is the closest thing that they have right now to a guy who, in theory, you could give the ball to at the top of the key and just say, go make a shot. Go make a move. Get yourself open from 18 feet. Take your guy, if you can, down to the low, closer to the basket for a pull-up, something like that. Ben Simmons should be able to be that guy, too. He is that big. He is that strong. He can handle the ball well enough to do it. The only thing that's preventing him from doing it is his inability and unwillingness to shoot. And my concern, if I, you know, you mentioned not having a closer, Keith. My concern is that based on, you know, an interview I did with Ben's father before game six of the Toronto series, who kind of sloughed off the idea that Ben really needed to bear down and work on his jump shot in this offseason, that it'll all come in time. Well, you know, I'm not sure the Sixers have that kind of time, at least, you know, if they want to keep, you know, strike while the iron is hottest for their, for a championship. Mm-hmm. If he gets better right now, they become immeasurably better. If he doesn't, then it's, that, you know, they're really, really taking their chances,
but
I think.
But do you think when – you never notice, like, okay, there's a fire going on and people are panicking and people say, oh, calm down, just calm down. Don't – you know, you know you need to get out of there, but you don't want people to panic.
Right.
Do you get the sense with that, with the father? Like, he knows that this summer is a make or break for his kid, but he just wants to – relax, folks. Calm down. He's going to get
it. You know what's
it.
Interesting?
He's going to do that.
You know what's interesting about that? He almost, when I talked to him, he almost approached it like all of this was wonderful, kind of a thing. Like, yeah, this is one great ride. Like, you know, here they are in the second round, and Ben gets to guard, Kawhi Leonard, who's the best player in the league right now. And Ben's only 22, and isn't this great? Isn't this wonderful for his growth? And he'll only get better from this moving forward. And there was a heavy accent and emphasis on that, and a little less on, hey, if he gets better right now, they can really make some hay right now. Like, there was more on the distance and less on the urgency in the moment, I felt like.
Okay.
And maybe I'm wrong about that. Maybe he was just kind of, you know, kind of trying to calm everybody down and knows deep in his heart that that Ben needs to get better and will get better, but I didn't get that sense from him.
Yeah, but the reality is, man, if Ben can't shoot and Joel stays fat, they ain't winning anyway. That's what they're the two players yeah. you build around.
Yeah.
And if you have a guy in a perimeter who can't shoot, it becomes 4-on-5. And if you got a center who can't stay in shape in this league, you know, and he's the guy that touches the ball more than anybody else, especially on offense. And he's supposed – who's – give me a guy – name me a guy, an elite defender who's not in shape. You got to be in shape to play elite defense, whether it's 70 games, 75 games, 66 games in the playoffs. You got to be in shape to be an elite defender. And if he's not, and if he doesn't work on his footwork, both offensively and defensively, it's not going to matter. He's a brilliant instinctive defender and a wonderful offensive talent. But he's 2 years from being the kind of polished player who deserves an MVP. And that's not a criticism. It's an endorsement. He has a much higher ceiling than we've seen, but he has to be in shape and be professional and be coached to reach that ceiling. And to his credit, he's become a much better player, especially offensively, in the last two seasons when he's been able to stay healthy and work on that game. And again, Ben Simmons is a wonderful player. Joel Embiid is a generational player. So let's see if the point guard can shoot, and let's see if the center can get fit and progress and stay healthy, because all those things go hand in hand. Tobias Harris's max ain't going to matter. Josh Richardson's development ain't going to matter. And, you know, Al Horford's AARP membership card ain't going to matter if those other things don't happen.
Yeah. And what about their bench, though, guys? What do you think they need to get on the bench?
Well, you've got two guys right now who have to play in Zaire Smith and Mike Scott. So that's a 7-person rotation. You probably need two more for depth for the rest of the year. I don't know if Jonah Bolden and Shake Milton are those two guys, or what you can expect from the rookie Matisse. So when they set up out to, you know, doing the process, the problem with the process always was numbers. How many developing players can you afford to have on a real team? Well, they've got two developing players as their two best players, and they've got two more coming off the bench, they hope, maybe three or four. So you can't have 15 guys with 3 years of experience or less. They have to get some production from players who aren't in their starting five and let them develop. That's how the Warriors stayed good. That's how the Celtics got good, you know? So that said, their rotation, their depth has to be their youth.
I
I get you.
Yeah, I mean, I feel the same way. I think Zaire Smith is really a huge key to this thing. You know, remember, they traded a player in Malik Bridges who was ready to enter the NBA and contribute right away. And they got a draft pick back for him, and they got Zaire. And the thing about it is, Mikhail Bridges, I apologize. The thing about that is that while Smith may turn out to be a better player over his career, Bridges was readier to help them right away. Mm-hmm. You know, he lent more size on the wing. He could shoot right away. He was an excellent three-point shooter in college. He was a little bit older. Mm-hmm. He was kind of like the safe, can't-miss kind of guy, mm-hmm. pros pro sort of guy. Now, you know, obviously Zaire, you know, went through something that is not his fault with the allergy and knocking on death's door and all of that.
And the injury.
You know, but they need him to be a player this year. If he's not a rotational player, you know, they're going to have problems. They're really going to have problems.
Yeah. We'll see. But, I think they just need – I mean, they're going to depend heavily on those two.
So my question is, when are we going to do the Mike –
Mike
Scott podcast with the Hive in the background.
Yeah, that would be nice.
That's the
parental guidance required on that one, I think.
Yeah, exactly. That would be a fun one.
We could have him in. Yeah. He could change jerseys, hockey jerseys between commercial breaks.
He's got to come in wearing the black, yellow, and orange Vancouver Canucks 1980s jersey.
I bet you someone makes him Mitchell and Ness, whatever it's called. Yeah. Mitchell and Ness. I can't even pronounce it right now. Sorry, y'all, for butchering it. But I bet you they make him a Sixers hockey jersey. What do you call it? A sweater?
Sweater.
Yeah, they're going to make him a
sweater. Preferably one with the shoestring on the top.
Yeah.
Those are the best.
Yeah, it's the best. But look, y'all, I'm pretty sure you don't want to hear me butcher names and us talk about jerseys or sweaters. But I want to thank y'all for listening. I want to thank you two for joining this podcast. And I want y'all to enjoy the rest of your day. Peace.